Hello and welcome to another episode of Nigeri Daily. I am Martia Umar. Thank you for joining.
10 years is not 10 days, not 10 weeks, not 10 months. I know one day my baby will be back. It's just a matter of time. With man, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. I have hope in God that one day I'll see my daughter, and I keep that hope alive. I will never give hope.
We fought for this girl, and up to now, this girl, we cannot lay our eyes on her. So each time this woman see me, being one of the vanguard to fight for this girl, this woman, you will see tears will flow from her eyes.
The sounds of pain and agony of mothers who for the past 10 years have not set eyes on their children. And while the world knows of the initial abduction that took place on April 14, 2014, many more people are not aware of is the ongoing struggle faced by the survivors and their families. On the night of April 14, 2014, Boko Haram militants stormed Government Girls Secondary School in Chibok, Borno State, and kidnapped 276 girls from their hostels. 10 years on, the Chibok abduction serves as a stark reminder of the persistent threat of terrorism and the vulnerability of innocent lives, especially young girls in conflict zones like Chibok. Parents of some of the girls that are still in captivity narrate their very sad ordeal and how they were able to live through these 10 years with the hope that one day their missing children will return home to them. Take a listen.
10 years is not 10 days, not 10 weeks, not 10 months. I know one day my baby will be back. It's just a matter of time. With man, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. I have hope in God that one day I'll see my daughter, and I keep that hope alive. I will never give hope. For if man cannot do it, God will do it for me.
After that, you come and fall because of the high blood pressure. So by then, his doctor said that we have to carry her to one hospital who is saying, you know, Asokoro. But from that place, they said that they can't do it because they don't have the equipment or materials to do all these things. So they refer us to Abacha Barak. So by then, she get heart expansion. When the heart expand, she get problem. So when we went to that place, I think over at least 1 million we spent that place because of heart.
Back then was just only blood pressure, like no sleep, crying day and night. So there's this lack of rest. This developed this BP issue. Then after that, I will now relocate to Abuja. That's where the thing got worse. My BP now then rose to the standard that it did not come down easily. So I have this enlargement of heart. So that's where I got the problem of heart issue. So I was with a doctor in Nyanya Clinic then. Before the thing now, I was now transferred to Abacha Barak, this Nigerian Army Military Medical Center there. So there's a doctor there that do take care of me from time to time. When I even came down to Chibok, I do go to Abuja for follow-up. But these 2 years now, it's not easy. The rainy season did not favor us these 2 years. So going to Abuja, to up front, the transportation and medical bill is not all that easy, really. So I'm only managing myself here.
Sai kuka hawan jini ya ta dauke mu yau ka ji maman wane ta rasu
gobe maman wane ta rasu today this person's mother died. Sometimes the worrying and thinking used to be too much that to even leave a particular city is becoming difficult. I am a teacher. It got to a point where I'm always sick and the doctor cannot detect what exactly is wrong with me. To me, I presume that it is the gravity of the thinking about my daughter. This is 1 year 4 months. I am not going anywhere. I don't go out. I'm always indoors. Our cry is about our children. Even if we wake up from sleep, our children is what we are thinking. We, the young parents, were even better compared to the old parents that lost their children. Losing these children is giving us a health condition that is making us inactive. We are pleading with the government to assist us to bring back our girls.
Despite international attention and effort, many of these girls remain missing till this day. While some managed to escape or were rescued, over 100 are still unaccounted for. Now, the abduction of these girls sparked global outrage, and the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls went viral. An activist who has been playing a major role in the cause of the Chibok girls since 2014 shares her thoughts on the impact of the abduction.
My name is Aisha Yusufu. I am an active Nigerian citizen. When I turned 40, I realized that I also was part of the problem of Nigeria and how was I the problem of Nigeria by my silence. So I turned 40 on the 12th of December 2013 and I decided I would start speaking on national issues. 4 months after that, Chibok girls were abducted and I came out on the 30th of April 2014 to march on the streets of Abuja, making demands for children that had been taken away from their school. Yeah. As long as there are girls in captivity, I will continue to make demands for citizens to be rescued. And one of the things is that, sadly, Nigeria has gotten into a place whereby, you know, citizens are constantly being taken away. And so it's almost as if there's no end in sight. And it's really wearing. It's really, so people don't understand the emotional damage it does for one to be on the street making demands constantly, for one to, you know, listen to parents and see heartbroken citizens, people whose children have been taken away, and those who are going through so much. So I would say definitely we're going to keep on the campaign until there's no need, until no Nigerian it's in the hands of those in captivity. How many of our numbers are in the hands of abductees? These are questions that we started asking from that time. Being a victim in Nigeria is a matter of when, not a matter of if. We're all victims waiting to happen. So don't make your empathy to be expensive. When you see something happen to somebody else, put yourself in their shoe and say to yourself, what would I have done if I was the one?
You're listening to Nigeria Daily. We'll be going on a break, but please stay tuned.
www.dailytrust.com.
That's the home of news you can trust.
And features, analysis, and in-depth reports that are rich.
That's right. In addition, you can get much more.
But how?
Let me introduce you to Trust Plus, where you can get added value.
And where is that?
Visit the Trust Plus portal and subscribe.
You mean subscribe to become a member?
Yes, and that entitles you to exciting opportunities.
Like what?
A chance to connect with Daily Trust journalists to suggest stories you want to read and even contribute in producing the story.
Wow, could you show me how to get a Trust Plus?
It's simple. You can visit the portal on membership.dailytrust.com now.
Welcome back. This is Nigeria Daily coming to you from Media Trust. On today's episode, we're looking at the 10-year anniversary abduction of the Chibok girls. And before the break, we heard from the parents of some of the many Chibok girls who are yet to be accounted for. It's been 10 years now, no doubt. But the big question is, will the people of Chibok ever live a normal life? Well, Gaza Yakubu, a reporter from Trust TV, our sister station, who recently visited Chibok, speaks with us on his experience when he visited Chibok To him, Chibok is now a ghost town. Take a listen.
And you really can doubt if they can recover. I don't know. Probably some years to come, maybe they are going to recover. But like you said, it is really a shadow of yourself. It looks like a ghost town. The spirit and the life is not there because the whole place has been militarized. People can hardly move from one location to another. You can hardly see strangers. So imagine a community where the people that are there are just, you know, the indigenes and all of that. How do you expect business activities, you know, to strive? And then again, Maiduguri, that is supposed to be the easiest route, you know, to Chibok. From Maiduguri, you know, go through the Sambisa and then get to Damboa. Then from Damboa, then you head to, you know, Chibok. That road, especially from Maiduguri to, you know, going through the Sambisa, has to be scanned by the soldiers. Like, they do that every day. And until they say, okay, the road is free, drivers can, you know, can ply that road. Nobody there's, you know, to ply the road. I remember I was in Maiduguri for close to 4 days, and I had to tell myself, no, I can't keep staying here because the assignment, the major assignment, was in Chibok. So I had to go and use the long route. Went through Bama, after Kondiga, went through Bama. From Bama, you know, we went to Puka. From Puka, then Goza, then Minchika, you know, Madagali. And then we had to go to Adamawa State, where we went through, you know, Uba, and then Askira, then before we assess. It was really a long journey. I mean, we started in the morning, only for we to get there around past 6. And no, it was around 7 we got there, because 6:30, the soldiers always, you know, block the road. Once it's at 6:30, you cannot be able to assess, you know, Chibok. So we got there around part, you know, to 7. But luckily for us, some of those people that were in the vehicle, they were real indigents, and they had a program the next day. So they had to make some certain calls. That was the, you know, the only way I was able to assess that community that day. Most of the drivers will tell you that you can hardly assess. Sometimes they do 2 days, you know, on road before they can assess the, you know, the community. So Chibok is, it's really a ghost, you know, it's a ghost town more like, because business activities are not really striving. People can no longer go to their farms because of the banditry activities still around the neighboring community. And for the fact that it is Chibok, that is why you have a lot of security people stationed there. Mm. Other neighboring communities, I mean, I learned that when it is night, you know, they have to go to the forest or to the bush to go and sleep, because they know if they stay in their houses, you know, the bandits will come for them. So it is safer for them to be in the bush so that when the bandits eventually visit, they will not see them. And then the next day, they resume back to their, you know, they resume back to there. So you just can imagine the situation around, you know, the community. Yes, Chibok is safe, but then again, in terms of livelihood and how people should go about their normal life every day, I mean, it is terrible.
How did you cope staying then? How many days did you stay in Chibok?
I stayed in Chibok for, I think, 5 days.
Trying to talk to some of the parents who were willing to talk.
And the place was hot. Your phone, you know, my phone was just running low battery because of the weather condition. And even when you're trying to charge, I mean, you really cannot get charged. And, you know, Chibok don't have, currently, there's no electricity.
Wow.
So many people are running on gen, for those people that have gen, you know. So staying wasn't really, and then again, you know.
Did that happen as a result of the kidnap?
Yes.
They have to be cut out of electricity.
Even some part of Maiduguri don't have electricity, you know, power supply because of the insurgency.
Wow.
You know, so being in the community itself, you know, 4 days wasn't easy because there's no light, and then accessing one point to another, you have to ride a bicycle. So if you don't know how to ride a bicycle, I mean, you can barely find your way around because there are no, you know, motorcycles. They are not allowed to operate within the community. If you see a motorcycle, probably, you know, it's a soldier that is you know, riding it or something.
And that was Gaza Yakubu with a very heartbreaking tale of Chibok and the parents of the missing girls. Will the remaining Chibok girls ever be found? Well, the Commissioner for Information in Borno State has this to say.
The total number of abducted girls was 276. Of these, 187 have been rescued over time. And recently, 16 have been rescued. Of the 16, 4 have decided to return back to their parents, unconditionally. They decided, they requested to go back to their parents, and government obliged. The balance are undergoing different packages of rehabilitation. Government has second chance school. Government has put them in second chance schools, and they are undergoing training and vocational training and civic education and so on. And they are also being rehabilitated in terms of trauma counseling and so on. So government has been working very hard to rescue the girls. What the Borno State government is doing is to support and to keep appealing to the federal government to deploy our forces in order to carry out rescue missions and also carry out intelligence gathering that will lead to rescue of these girls. We are aware that some of these girls have been married off. Some have, you know, in the initial stage, they were camped in one place. But intelligence showed that over time, they have been dispersed into different locations. So government is tracing and tracking these girls, the balance, the remainder of the girls on case-by-case basis, but individual basis. We have, under the Borno model, we have insurgents that are returning back and repenting. Those commanders and foot soldiers of the insurgency, they are giving us intelligence on how to track and get to those guys. And much of it is a secret that we don't want to reveal. But I want to assure the public that the federal government and the Borno State government are working tirelessly to trace and rescue the remainder of our girls.
And as we reflect on this somber anniversary, let us not forget the Chibok girls and the countless others around the country who have been victims of abduction and insurgency. And that's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Nigeria Daily. My name is Martia Umar. Bye for now.